Welcome to the Social Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guests today are Toby Rodrigue and Kirsten Koiken from the University of Quebec in Montreal. They recently published an article entitled Revealing the Research Potential for the Field of Cross-Cultural Entrepreneurship, Lessons from an Integrative Literature Review. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Toby, Kirsten, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you
very much.
Can you tell us what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you aim to answer?
So the paper actually started 4 years ago during a seminar I actually took at the beginning of my doctoral journey. It was a seminar in anthropology. So nothing really to do with business at that point, but it was really a seminar to learn about cultures. And I am doing a thesis on entrepreneurship, and my main research and interest is the world of entrepreneurship. And so I was really curious to learn what was being done at that point in the world of anthropology and entrepreneurship. So basically, it was really to explore what was the literature intersecting culture and entrepreneurship. And so that gave kind of a very basic paper at that point. And I got to share a few ideas with Kirsten here, who I knew and who really works with cross-cultural management at that point, you know, a number of years ago. So I knew she was really a good reference in that field. And so we started to talk and she was like, oh, this is really interesting, you know, looking at entrepreneurship with this cultural lens and understanding, you know, how authors are addressing the topic. And so we started to talk. And so basically this little very, very small paper written in a seminar, we started to expand, and we actually worked at that point together, and we produced a conference paper for IRAM in 2021. So that was like the next step of this actual paper, was really writing a conference paper and expanding on a few ideas that, you know, were initially in my original manuscript, and adding also from Kirsten's perspective and expertise. And we got really good feedback during that conference. And again, it was during COVID times, so that was a virtual conference. So everyone was a bit outside of their comfort zones, but we were able to get a lot of interesting feedback and some validation on some few elements, and also some suggestions to kind of explore and expand. And with all that feedback, we kind of went back to the working table and really revamped our paper. And that's at that point that we decided, okay, let's really focus and do a literature review. So really, really take the time and work systematically and look at everything that has been done in this field of at that point, we were really calling it cross-cultural entrepreneurship. So really understanding, okay, how are authors looking at you know, cultures around the globe and entrepreneurship. And so we really started to work systematically at that point on this paper. And afterwards, we had a few friendly reviews from colleagues at UQAM. And then we started to have a long process with ERD and its reviewers. We went through a number of rounds of reviews, but each round was really beneficial because we were able to at each step enhance and improve the paper. And so 4 years later, we published this summer. We were really excited, and it was really a lot of work, but a lot of people also helping out through the journey. So that's the story about this paper.
What are the main contributions of your paper?
I'm going to go with this question. And as Toby said, we are really excited about this fertilization between two fields. So, which is cross-cultural management and entrepreneurship. And we did classify those papers into the two main paradigms of cross-cultural management, which are the positivist one and the interpretative one. So those are the two main recognized ones. And our main contribution was to see the marginality, but at the same time, the potential of the interpretative paradigm. So there's not a lot of scholars who have actually used that paradigm, which mostly goes by using very qualitative, rich methodology. So ethnographic research, qualitative interviews, case study, observation. There's also a few quantitative papers, I have to say, but there's not many scholars who actually have engaged with the interpretative paradigm. And then the ones who did show so interesting results that we see that there's so much more potential for the field of entrepreneurship. So that's our main contribution, to highlight that area to be explored in future research. And to give you one example, there's some great work on entrepreneurial decision making and practices that we discovered. So, for example, a study of Hamid and his colleagues who show identity work of three types of ethnic migrant entrepreneurs. So from Indonesia, Pakistan, and South Korea, and who show their differences. So this is the example, an example of this great potential that we explored, and we see that there's so many areas for development.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the main challenge we faced was really on the methodological aspect, and it was really trying to understand and classify all of these papers. So we had hundreds of papers at one point, and I think for the classification on the cultural aspect, we did not have that much difficulty. We were able to identify, okay, is this more in the positivist paradigm or interpretative paradigm? That was not really the issue. It's really when we started to try to categorize it in the field of entrepreneurship, trying to separate the papers, and it was a big puzzle. And I remember we started with a first approach where we got some friendly feedback from colleagues that warned us that, okay, be careful if you look at entrepreneurship through these perspectives, it might be tricky and it's going to be hard to classify everything, and there's a lot of nuances, and we really went back, scratched our heads, and were okay, let's start from the beginning with the entrepreneurship classification. And then, we went back to the papers and we highlighted, key categories. And that was really a long process. And we finally ended up with five categories in which these are the five themes that we present in this paper. And these five themes are really look very nice and very distinct, but it was a long process to get to these five themes and clearly identify each paper within one of these themes. So that was really the main challenge, was really to identify, okay, what are the themes in the field of entrepreneurship that all of these papers fit into or talk about or discuss? And we were able to finish with really interesting elements, but that was a thorough process that took a long time.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise or maybe the most counterintuitive result?
Yes, I like this question. I'm going to go with this one. It's for sure, it's a theoretical effort that we did. So there's not as many surprises as if we had done empirical work and field work, right? However, there was two things I would like to mention. The first one is we had an intuition that there was going to be more positivistic papers on culture and entrepreneurship, because we know this from other fields such as marketing, human resources. There's like a strong tendency to use Hofstede, which is one of the main authors in cross-cultural management, for comparative work. Now, we did not expect this number to be so high. We had about almost 90% of the analyzed papers that are situated in this paradigm. So when I say we saw that the interpretative one is marginal, well, it's extremely marginal. So that was the first thing. And the second surprise we had, that within these 10% of interpretative papers, there was a very big interest for networking practices. So, which led to the fact that we actually named it one of the main five themes that Toby just mentioned before. So among the other ones being economic activity, then we have the student trades that are compared internationally, then we have the decision-making and entrepreneurial intention, and then we have networking, and then we have all other practices. So between among all these practices, there's networking that attracted the interest of both paradigms, but the interpretative one being marginal, it was very interesting to see. So what is it that is so interesting about networking that attracts scholars? So there's eight papers in total within this category, and half of them are in the in the interpretative paradigm, so four papers. And we find so nice, like I would almost say jewels of studies in there. So for example, a study of Este 2004, who compares French and US networking. So, and who finds that when French entrepreneurs build their business, they build very different relationships from you compared to US entrepreneurs. So the French are very much more on intensive ties and move slowly from one contact to the other and build stronger relationships. Whereas in the US, you have this multiple contact making and networking, which the author compares to the American sports. So there is this huge cultural background that is analyzed, and the other three papers also bring interesting results. So there's definitely something there that can teach us about networking. And then at the same time, this was a surprise. And then we were saying, so what about all the other practices? Are they also very well presented? And then the answer was not really. So the last theme that we identified, which is all other practices, there's three papers. So there's all of those practices that are still not culturally explored. And when I say culturally explored, I mean through interpretative and deep-rooted research. And so there's so much potential in order to study other things than networking, like when we look into process perspectives, to shed light on cultural ways of entrepreneuring and so we were excited about that, and we wanted to highlight that as an invitation for scholars as well to contribute to these areas and to use those interpretative approaches and to really also position themselves within this paradigm and to say we are looking at culture from this or that perspective, and this is what we do in order to study practices. So for us, there's a huge research agenda that comes with this finding as well.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, policymakers, practitioners in general, or maybe also researchers or scholars?
Yeah, I can start, and then Kristen, we can complement each other. As Kristen just said, I think the main implications of this particular research paper are really, really for the research community, for scholars, laying out a few research paths in an agenda that is proposed in the paper through questions that we actually propose and angles of research that could be done. The practices of entrepreneurship in a cross-cultural perspective is a really, really rich domain that we've identified, and the papers that we found are really interesting and very rich, but there's still quite few, and so we're really excited to see what will be done in the future in this field. So really, a main implication is for scholars and researchers, and then if we think about entrepreneurs per se, I think what we offer through this paper is really a bit of a roadmap of what has been done in terms of cross-cultural understanding of entrepreneurship. So entrepreneurs that are curious, that are dealing maybe with other entrepreneurs around the world, or who are interested in understanding a bit more on specific topics such as networking, and do not really know where to go and where to start in understanding and reading about this, well, this literature review offers a few keys and a lot of the literature that has been done so far on these topics. So it's a bit of a, you know, one-stop shop for entrepreneurs who are maybe not as familiar with the academic world and go with these search tools for academic papers. And through this literature review, you can get a glimpse of what has been done so far in different cross-cultural perspectives. And from there, perhaps read more and learn more. So that would probably be one of the implications for entrepreneurs as practitioners.
Yeah, so maybe to complement what Toby just said, I want to go back to the implications for scholars, but then also mention a few implications for entrepreneurs and for those who support entrepreneurs. So when it comes to scholars, what we find important is, and I think I've said it before, the explicit positioning when we talk about culture. What do we mean? Like the need to define culture and to not use it as a word to put all kinds of significant sense into it. So to really say, okay, so culture, what is it to us, and what is the paradigm that we position ourselves in? And then we have analyzed the two main paradigms. There are other paradigms which we also discuss in our paper, and there's some future research that needs to be done on critical paradigms of culture, etc. So to really make the effort and say, we position our work in this and that paradigm to be able to contribute as well. So that's one thing that we find important. And the other thing, so for when it comes to practical implications, there's definitely the implications for entrepreneurs that Toby mentioned, to sort of get a grasp of what does it mean to be an entrepreneur in a particular culture. And the other thing that I would like to mention is that maybe it could shift some pressures of entrepreneurs' shoulders to not always be like entrepreneurs from another culture. So what do I mean by that? We always tend to look at certain countries when we say, oh, these are great examples for entrepreneurs. So they're entrepreneurs that come to mind when I ask my students, it's going to be Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook or something like this. So to not feel that pressure to be as them, but to be authentic and to actually engage with local culture when it comes to practices. So not feel that pressure to adapt to something that is probably not natural, and then there's a reason for it. So the work to really analyze all these studies is also to show that there is that interest to stay particular, and it's good that way. So that's for the entrepreneurs. And also when we teach entrepreneurship, if we teach entrepreneurship in Quebec, for example, it's not necessarily the same as in the US, which is our neighbor, and they're like 100 kilometers away. So this goes as well for Asian entrepreneurship, et cetera, et cetera. So also to be culture conscious, I think that's one of the main messages we want to bring. And the same goes for support organizations such as incubators and accelerators, et cetera, to really understand, okay, there is a cultural particularity in the geographic area that I'm currently in, and to like start accompanying, supporting entrepreneurs maybe differently than the support is given in the Silicon Valley, for example.
Thanks a lot, Kirsten and Toby, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Revealing the Research Potential for the Field of Cross-Cultural Entrepreneurship, Lessons from an Integrative Literature Review. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.